Blog Talk Radio. Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom-Brath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Tonight, my co-host and producer, Nicole, won't be joining us. She may stop in if she can for a minute or two. Her grandmother has passed away, and so it's one of those things. She has a lot of family things to take care of. And if those of you who've been listening to the saga of Nicole's grandmother knows it's a mixed bag of tricks when we talk about her. But anyway, I'm sorry that Nicole's not here. And if she should call in, I would love to hear from her. Anyway, any of you who would like to talk to me, you're going to have to press 1 so that I know you do want to be on the air. Lately, Blog Talk Radio has not been telling people to press 1. So if you want to talk, all you have to do is press 1, and I will try to get to you. I'm going to go right to our first caller because I don't have anybody to chit-chat with because Nicole's not here. So I'm going to go to a 412 number. The last 4 digits of your number are 5179, so you know that I'm going to be putting you on the air. Hi, it's Cindy, and you're live on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Oh, good. You're there. I'm like, Nicole's not here working the switchboard. I go, I hope I'm doing it right.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. And who is this?
This is Jennifer. How are
okay,
you?
Good. And Jennifer, where are you calling from?
Bayside.
Oh, so you're near, nearby. You're in New York. Okay, good. So you have the same beautiful weather we have today.
Yes. Adore it. I'm turning 40 soon. And in June 4th, and I was wondering if you can tell me about love and what would be, was hoping to, you know, coming my way.
Hey, this is wonderful because it's always good to get a reading about a month before a birthday because your new year goes from one birthday to the next. I don't know if you knew that. So one of the best times is, you know, a few weeks before a birthday or close to a birthday. It's a big birthday for you, huh?
Mm-hmm. I'm actually planning a trip to Bermuda. I actually booked it.
Wow. Now, you have very good cards for the upcoming year, by the way. It's not just love. It happens to be a soulmate card. Out of 80 cards, there's 2 soulmate cards, and you got one. And I think is what you want is a higher love. Isn't that what you're looking for now?
Yeah. I have your book, so I think I deserve it.
Okay, well, good. Anybody who has that book, and I can't stress it enough, if you say, grant me a higher love, the universe is hearing that.
Yeah.
You're also becoming much more intuitive yourself. Are you working on that?
Yes. I follow
good.
My gut a lot more. I listen to, can't say it's a voice, but sometimes I just feel things and I just go with it.
Okay, I love the way you say that because when people say, well, how do you hear the dead? How do you do this? I go, it's just an inner knowing. It's a thought,
yes.
But I somehow know it's not my thoughts. I wish I could be more specific about it, but all I know is it's an inner knowing, and you're getting much more intuitive. You got across from the soulmate card, the Fool card, which you have to be a little bit of a fool to fall in love again. It's a little bit of risk-taking, and I know it's a little bit scary. But, you know, you're getting to that point where you're starting to begin to feel there's more to life than this. And I can see you look like you have a pretty successful career. That looks great. Not only did you get the soulmate card, you got the husband card. I'm not sure if you want to get married, but a husband is. Okay, good, because I'm like, because sometimes people snap my heads off. I go, well, I can't help it if a husband card comes up. So
no,
this
I
is
do,
an old.
Without a doubt.
Okay, good, because this is an old-fashioned kind of a man. He's close to your age. He's the Knight of Pentacles, which is a man close to 40. He might be 38, 39. He's close to 40. I love that you got the Knight of Pentacles because that's a man who makes money. He's not a boy. I mean, you don't need somebody you need to support. You need somebody who can stand on his own 2 feet in every way, and this is this particular man. So he's hardworking. He makes money. You have a grandfather who passed away. Do you remember him?
I never met him. I never met my grandfathers on either side. So I'm thinking this might be my father's father.
It's definitely your father's father, by the way, because he met you in spirit, as did your other grandfather. But this particular man is the man who's picked your soulmate for you, and he says it's everything you want. Even though you never met them on the earth plane, they're both they watch over you a lot. Your grandfather on your father's side is a pretty funny man. Did you ever hear anything about him?
My father tells me stories all the time about him.
This man is a riot.
Growing up in Italy, that's where my parents were born.
This man has a great personality. He's laughing because he's disappointed in the men he sees on the planet right now. He thinks they're all boys. He said it wasn't easy to scan through the possible soulmates that you had to find one that actually would fit his criteria. And this man believes men should work hard. So, you know, I think I'm just laughing because he said, I had to find a hardworking one and a man who's loyal and trustworthy. He has a lot of the traits that you've been writing down, because if you have my book, I'm sure you've written down what your ideal soulmate would be like. Did you do that? Okay, so it was hardworking on the list? A man
Absolutely.
Who makes money? Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Because our generation, my generation and your generation, in a lot of ways women don't want to run what's called a prostitute archetype. So that, you know, they're not looking for a man necessarily to support them, but you have to start, you know, realizing that you don't want to be supporting a man either, because that's a worse prostitute archetype, because you can't leave a man because you can't afford to, because he spends all your money.
Emotionally and financially available as a criteria.
Good. Yep. And this man definitely is, he is a little bit old-fashioned, and your grandpa can't stress that enough, because he's a relatively old-fashioned man, your grandfather. So this is a man whose family is important. And, you know, there are children. Do you have children now? Because there's children showing up in the cards.
No, I don't want children, but maybe.
He may have them.
I do have three nephews and a niece that I'm very close to. I'm always around them.
This man may have children or a child, so just if you like kids, though, because you like your nieces and nephews, you'll be fine with this if he has kids. Because because as long as you like children, because there were children sort of circling around him, and you're the kind of person that's the good aunt, and everybody needs one of those, someone who doesn't have children of their own, who appreciates children. When you have children of your own, you're usually too tired to give anybody else's kids too much attention. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure those kids appreciate their sweet aunt. Do they love you?
They love me. They get upset when I don't stay longer with them. And, it makes me cry when I hear them say, you're not going to stay longer. Are you going to come tomorrow? But it's beautiful. It's unconditional love. And that's what I want in a husband. You know, they love you no matter what.
And that's what you're going to get. And funny, you know, Oprah calls it the three kinds of women. Women who are meant to be mothers, and we have Mother's Day coming up, so happy Mother's Day to our listeners who are moms. We have the kinds of women who should be the good aunt, because they are just going to be great with their nieces and nephews. And then we have the women who should go nowhere near children. you're the good aunt, and you really have a lot of good karma surrounding you for that. And, you know, we talk about finding love wherever it is. So the fact that you find love with your nieces and nephews, that's finding love in the world, and that's how you open your heart to other love coming. It's really a good birthday year coming up, by the way. It's really a good year for you, peaceful. I'm trying to tell you not to get a midlife crisis, because it sort of happens around 40. You may have had one already, because your generation gets them a little bit younger. And that's the crisis, a spiritual crisis. There's more to life than this. And there is more to life than what you've been seeing. And this is definitely the love coming. And, you know, enjoy your vacation. Maybe you can make some friends there, or maybe even meet somebody there. You know.
Thank you.
But are you expanding your friendship world?
I am. I have a lot of different friends from many different places. I'm active. I'm feeling good. I'm not going into 40 upset. I feel like this is a new chapter for me. I think in my 20s, I had no idea what I was doing. My 30s, I got better. But I feel I'm just going to be a superstar in my 40s. So
okay, and that's what you're going to be. I'm good because you know your generation is the MTV made you over the hill at 25, which I just think is like the most ridiculous thing. And people think, well, I didn't make it by the time I'm 25, it's over. And no, 40 is really good because you've learned a lot. I can tell that you've got the blinders off. You see people for who they are now. You know, you're not a little girl. What happened when I hit 40, I began to realize that I had always thought like a child. Even though I had a 15-year-old, I'd been married for, you know, 18 years or so, I realized that I had been thinking like a child and not like a grown-up. You know, trying to see the good where it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I'm not making enough decisions on my own. And things that, when you hit 40, you start seeing the world through grown-up eyes. And that's amazing. Don't you love it, seeing the world, you know, the way it is instead of the Pollyanna eyes that we used to see it through?
I do love it. I wasn't raised to see it that way. I was raised to be more of a politician, a diplomat, and I just call it space for what it is now. My parents kind of look away at things when people don't treat them right, speak behind their back, and I am not like that. I don't need to have people in my life if they're negative, and I'm happy to walk away from these things. My parents
now
are more forgiving.
That is your karmic lesson. We're here to learn. We can't fix people.
Yeah.
And we're here to learn to stop being such peacemakers because older souls by nature are peacemakers. They don't rock the boat. But in not rocking the boat, you're condoning things that are wrong and people that are doing wrong things. And it's not okay that we see things, injustices, or we see people being abusive and we just pretend it's not happening. So you've got it right. Your parents are good Christians. They're not very Christ-like because Jesus was a little tougher about why don't you see people for who they are. But your parents mean well, but it's not okay that people hurt us. And I'm glad that you've seen that. And that's why you're now ready to let a good man in. Just a little bit heads up, going with your eyes open when you're dating. I have way too many of my clients your age group. And they, you know, meet guys online and, you know, they're getting fooled by the men who are talking all the buzzwords lately that, you know, you're my soulmate, this and that. They wine and dine them for a week, you know, for weeks until they sleep with the woman and then they run. I think your gut is really good. But just be careful because some of these men are really good. So
I haven't been online probably for 6 years. I don't really like it. I know it's helped a lot of people. I just don't feel it's for me.
Well, it's getting worse in the last few years, but even if you meet a man now that, you know, that isn't online, they've kind of learned the tricks a little bit. So if your gut tells you, I'm not so sure he's telling me the truth, just wait on it. I mean, I had one of my clients, really her heart broken. I mean, the guy whined and dined her for like weeks and, you know, told her everything she wanted to hear. She slept with him and then, you know, and then he starts texting her. Now, you know, he's stalling seeing her. And I had to say to her, don't you see what he did? Well, he said he's working hard. I go, okay, he wasn't working hard for 3 weeks while he was trying to sleep with you, but now suddenly he's too busy for you. Like, she kept making excuses for that behavior. And I keep telling women, if you women don't wise up, and the minute that man starts pulling to say, this is not what I signed on for, I could see, you know, what you're doing and what game you're playing, and I'm not playing it. So, you know, just be aware that the men are a little bit slicker, whether you meet them online or you meet them in person. So, you know, that's
where I'm so good.
And this guy was really good at fooling. Do you know what I mean? I can understand why she may have fallen for his act. And, you know, that's why I'm always giving women a little heads up, you know, be a little patient. You know, around, you know, month, 2 months, the true colors of people start revealing. So don't rush into things. You know what I mean? See what's there for a while. Well, good luck to you.
Slowly.
Okay, good. And you're going to promise that you're going to call back in when this wonderful man surfaces, because it's going to be within from one June 4th to the next. So he should be in your life. Again, you've got to get out and find love. If you stay, you know, in your house and you never leave it, all bets are off here. You have to get out there.
No. I'm out all the time. I travel for my job. I like picking up and scheduling, going away on vacation. I do that frequently. So, no, I'm
good. So
okay.
You're out there. I'm not worried about you. You have beautiful cards, by the way. And
thank
your
you.
Grandfathers are both up there laughing. They have a lot of love for you, and they've watched over you very well. You can just ask your grandfathers if you're meeting a man, is this the one, is he good? You know, they'll kind of get assigned to you. It's not the right one or it's the right one. Do you know what I mean? So,
Okay.
These men are like not going to let anybody hurt you. Believe me, they're not going to let anybody hurt you. And,
fantastic.
This is your year. And I'm glad that you don't want babies, because then, women who are 40 and don't have babies, they start getting like that, oh, my God, my eggs are old, and they start kind of settling for a man to fit a plan. I'm glad that you don't want babies, because you don't have to, like, feel that way. You can just relax.
There's no axe to fall.
Good.
I feel very carefree.
And when I go on dates,
the man looks at me when he's thinking I'm going to try to, nail him down to have kids. And when he hears that I don't want children, it just changes everything. He's like, oh, he feels better.
Right. He doesn't feel like, oh, my God, she's going to, like, be the princess that becomes the beast. She's going to tell me everything I want to hear. And then I get her pregnant. I'm like, oh, my God, who is this woman?
I know, men are a little scared of that, too. My friend, my very good friend, she's 44 years old, never married, and she wants children. And she has more of a, I hate to say this about her, but more desperation sometimes. And I tell her, you have to really tone that down.
Absolutely.
Working on that.
Because if you look desperate, you're going to scare people away.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's nothing desperate in your cards. It's a very good year. You've actually been a pleasure to read because, oftentimes we're cleaning up mess. And there's something wonderful about being single. You're in a place where you don't have to end a horrible relationship. You're not going through that war zone. You're free, and your life can change on a dime tomorrow when you meet your soulmate. Like, you're ready. So
an ex came back to me after 10 years, and he came back in September, and I put the kibosh on that after 2 months. I just listened more. There was nothing physical between us. I just watched, and that was all that I needed to see. So I was very happy that I ended that. But I
and that's what God needed you to do, because soulmates tend to work in five-year cycles, and he was gone for 2 5-year cycles, 10. God needed him to come back to you so you could see that it wasn't you. Everything that, why it wouldn't have worked was apparent to you, and now you gave it closure, because we really have to totally close the door someone who might have been a soulmate in the past. Like, now, he's not very fixable, that man. You figured that out.
Oh, right. And I said a prayer to God, and I said, now I see what I didn't see 10 years ago, and I now know it had nothing to do with me. Why the relationship ended.
And you needed that because it affected you, and it now made you realize that you're unforgettable, that a man would come back, that he saw the errors of his ways, but he can't fix it or change it because he's not capable of it. But God tested you with that man, 2 months of have your radar up, listen, pay attention to the red flags. So I can't imagine that God would bring you another man to test you. You've already been tested with your red flags. You saw them. You ended it without drama and trauma, and you moved on. So better you tested the water with him, closed that, than God bringing you another man for 2 or 3 months that you go through this. You think he's the prince, and then you're like, oh, my God, who's this guy? I'm really tired of hearing the stories of the men coming and going on women. And, I mean, I just can't believe how naive women are. Oh, well, I guess he is busy. Yet, don't buy that. A man has to have time for you.
Know.
A man should want to come see you.
I do believe, I always say this, that a man learns how to treat you by the way you allow him to. So I have high standards.
And you have your standards.
Not too high, but I've
It's not a settling. And the soulmate that you've written down, and because you've read Grant Me a Higher Love, believe me, the universe brings people a higher love when they read that book. It was the promise of me, the 4 years of working on the book when I didn't want to finish it. It was too much for me, and God said, but you, come on. All these people are going to get a higher love that even, read this book or say, Grant Me a Higher Love. Come on, finish it. So that sort of spurred me on, and I have hundreds of clients who are testimonies to they were granted a higher love after reading the book. So
it's an excellent book. It helped me through that ex from 10 years ago. I didn't have your book 10 years ago, but if I had, it would have made so much sense to me.
It would have sped up the process. Do you know what I'm saying? It would have sped up the process. What we're trying to do is get people through the lessons learned in a year and not 9 years or 10 years. Because, that book is for me. a lifetime of lessons learned, and some of them might have taken me 20 years to learn that I hope to teach people in 20 minutes.
Yes.
Well, good luck to you. I'm going to try to get another caller. Thank you for calling
in,
Jennifer.
So much,
and good
thank
luck
you.
On your vacation.
Bye.
Okay, so I see some of you have pressed 1. I'm going to go to a 516. Your last three numbers are 7374. I wish Nicole was here because Nicole is so good at this job, and I'm not so great, but Nicole is. Hi, it's Cindy. You're live and on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and who is this?
My name is Lou, and I'd like to know about my higher love.
Oh, I love the way you're saying the buzzwords, your higher love. I just love that. You know, it's funny because we don't want just a regular love, and the way you're asking for a higher love is what the universe would want to bring you. And anybody who really wants a higher love, it can be there for you. Are you doing anything to find this higher love, by the way?
Yes, I'm trying. I go dancing. I'll go with my friends, you know, go out. Right now I am seeing a gentleman, but he doesn't want a long-term commitment.
Okay, let's stop it right there. Because this is the new master over women. And this is the kind of guy I was just referring to. They tell us a little bit of truth, these men. Okay, I don't want a long-term commitment. And then they think, well, now you have to take what I'm giving you because I told you this is what I want. Don't accept that. You're wasting your time with him because you're telling the universe, well, I don't want to be alone, so I'm settling for a man who just told me he doesn't want what I'm selling. And don't think you're going to change his opinion. Don't think, you know, because you're such a good catch, oh, maybe if I just stick around for 6 months or a year, he's going to change his mind. This is the new master over women, telling women how close you can get. You can't be my girlfriend, and, you know, and I'll call you, don't call me, and I don't want any kind of commitment, and I want to owe you anything. Can you see how he's calling all the shots in the relationship?
Yes.
Now, did you come this far in liberation? It looks to me like you've left a relationship. Are you divorced?
I'm in the process. That's another thing I'd like to find out about.
Okay, because what I'm trying to tell you, you didn't leave one master, one lousy relationship, to get a different kind of master over you. Because this will be taking a lot of crap in the name of love. Because if you stay with him and you start falling in love with him, he's not going to change his mind. This is a man God brought to you as what I call a transition soulmate, a transition man. Most women can't leave a man unless there's another one there. Most women just can't do it. So, you know, women believe any man deaf, dumb, blind, lame, stupid, cheating is better than standing on their own 2 feet. God brought you a man that's probably the level of commitment you can handle anyway right now. So maybe that's why you're sort of a closet commitment phobic. You've been in a long-term relationship. You know, you're afraid a little bit. So maybe this guy is good for now, but you have to watch your back with your ex because that man doesn't know the truth if it bit him in the butt. Whose father has passed away?
Well, both my exes and my father have passed
away. Because there are two fathers in the room, so I'm glad one belongs to him and one belongs to you. Both of these men are on your side. His father wasn't a saint. Did you know that man at all?
Yes, I did.
And he seems to like you. I don't know how you felt about him, but he seems to like you.
I like him.
He likes you, too. He's on your side. They're not loving. These men are not loving your, and they're calling him your ex-husband. Now, these are men who probably belong to the brotherhood of men in their past lives who made the rules. You made your bed, lie in it. And I don't think your dad probably was a big fan of divorce when he was on the planet. But he knows he's sorry. He sees what your husband has done to you. And he wants you to love yourself the way, you know, you love your children the way your father loves you. It's not okay what this man has pulled. And, you know, you're going to have a higher love. You're going to fall in love. You're going to have everything you want. But you sort of have to close up this. Are you in, are you signing the divorce papers? Are you in the beginning of it? Are you toward the end of it?
He kept changing. We went through mediation. He changed all the mediation things. Now in June, we have a court date for temporary support because he's not paying me anything right now, and we've been separated now 2 years.
I mean, he doesn't want to pay you anything. He's hoping you'll drop dead. You know, if this way, if you drop dead, then he gets to keep everything. And and manipulative people know if they keep us on the cross long enough, they make us stuff down so much anger because older souls are not good at anger, but they do stuff it down. It's a good recipe for cancer and disease. He wants to make you sick. So what I'm trying to tell you is go into court with just the facts. Don't attack him personally. Make it plain and clear that you need some support. He doesn't think he should give you a damn cent, and that's coming from his father. You know, and know that if he had done right by you, the universe would be a lot kinder to him. You know, one of my clients, by the way, had a husband who was not good, and he left her a few years back, and he had an affair, and then he got remarried, and he still was busting her chops, and they had kids together, and she was starting to envy this man, saying, well, he's all happy. And I said, he's not happy. He married somebody else. The princess became the beast. He didn't want these other babies he's had. This man is fuming. He's not going to live long. He's going to end up with cancer. He's going to die. This man is so angry. It's not funny. He just died recently, and I wasn't surprised. He was such an evil man, and this time God took him because he was worth more dead than alive. She finally got some money from this man for her kids, from life insurance.
Oh, wow.
Could you imagine? He was not giving anything that he should have given. And this man thinks he's going to make you sick. I need to tell you, the universe may rain on his parade a bit. He had better make right by June when you go to court, or the men have a plan. So I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, he had better make right by you. And what you're doing, though, is you're going from one man who's your master, a man who's telling you, I own you, and you're trying to leave me, and you want a divorce, and what's going to happen is I'm not giving you a red cent. Now you've got a new master, the new 21st century. I don't really want commitment. I'm going to tell you how far you can jump, how high you can go. Are you liberating yourself from one man to get another man to tell you how high to jump? It doesn't
I'm trying
make sense.
Not to, but, oh, God, I don't know.
Now, if you women, and I kept saying to this, the woman last night who's got her heart broken by that guy who, you know, slept with her and ran, you women are not calling the men on their nonsense. You know, you have a right to say to them, well, I know you don't want a relationship, but I do, and I think I'm a pretty good catch, and I want a man, when I tell him I want to be with you and only you, he does cartwheels down the block. It's the happiest day of his life. I'm a good catch. So take 2 feet out. I mean, if it's meant to be and you don't booty call with him or talk to him, you might be surprised some men will come back and say, okay, you're worth it. But you're wasting your time with a man who's telling you, I don't want what you want.
Right.
And, you know, again, it might be the right man for now just to give you somebody to lean on. Of course, it's an illusion of leaning on because he's not really supportive of you. He's not really helping you all that much. But know that the next 5 years is really, really, really good. Anything you want is yours, including that higher love. You know, your husband is just going to do everything he can not to give you money. You had a house with him?
Yes.
Who's living in the home, or what's happened with that?
We sold it. It sold within a week's time.
And what happened with the money?
Well, we had to pay the mortgage and his line of credit and all the other incidentals, and I got the money. And now, basically, he's fighting, you know, for, and he got part of it, but not all of it. I got the most of the proceeds, and he's basically looking for it, too.
Okay, now you have to make sure you do your homework, because when you had to pay his debts, he was ringing up stuff on credit cards and things on a credit line, knowing that you would have to pay it from the house. So if you had to pay his debts from there, he wants to collect again. Can you see that? He's a very greedy man with money. So, you know, he's just going to, you know, he thinks he deserves more. Just don't be afraid of him. Have you finally figured out you're not afraid of him anymore?
No, I'm not afraid of him. But he left me. He found somebody else.
And again, don't think that you shouldn't have left him first. What
right.
The men are laughing up there. You realize you were not happy for a long time, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you're an old soul and loyal to a fault. And what the universe did was, it's very easy to dangle a woman in front of a son of a bitch like your ex and get him to be entrapped by a woman he thinks is better than you. He's not very happy with her. Okay, it's the same scenario of the man I told you that died. He's not all that happy with her. She's no princess. She's pretty demanding. But if you had stayed and if you didn't start getting a divorce one way or the other, you'd end up dying living with this man. He was a lot to take. Are you aware of that? He's
yes.
a man who lied
now
a lot.
I am.
Now, he lied a lot. He's the one who wanted the divorce, and meanwhile, he's not so sure he wants it now, and he's stalling time and hoping you'll drop dead, because this woman is not who he thought she was. But, you know, don't feel sorry for him. You know, he's a man who wants his way, his cake and eat it too. But it's your dad who helped you out of this marriage. It's him who and his father that brought this woman in alignment with him. They wanted you away from him. And when you're with that higher love a few years from now, you're going to know it was the best thing that could have ever happened to you.
When
the
will
best
I meet
thing.
This higher love?
When you let go of lesser loves, including the man you're with now.
Okay.
Because you're settling. You're settling
okay.
for a man. Your husband was the boss over you. Do you remember that?
Yes.
He called the shots.
Yes,
now you got another man who's the boss. Soulmates are two equals. You're not mommy to a boy. The man's not telling you how high to jump. God needs you to say enough is enough to this new man. You know, and close the door on it and let something better enter, because you're wasting your time with him. Time you spend with him, you could be out finding somebody else. And, you know, you're sort of telling the universe, well, this is better than nothing. It's not really better than nothing, because you must be stuffing down some anger. Aren't you annoyed? It's not, you know, you can only go so close but not any closer.
Exactly. It's
and
like,
we can't control
like
our emotions.
In the relationship. Mm-hmm.
Right. And just be a little stronger on this. I need you to admit to God that you should have divorced your husband.
Yes.
There was a long time you were not happy. Do you remember that? Because your dad says you've not been happy a long time.
Yes.
But we, you know,
that.
Your dad taught you made your bed, lie in it. This is what we thought. Let me just stay and suck it up. But consider this woman to be your best friend, because can you see how bad your husband is now? You start to see colors that you didn't bring out in him because you're a nice person. But you should see what he's like behind closed doors with this woman. All his anger comes out. He's not a nice person. Not a nice person. And so don't envy him. How come he's got somebody? If you want a mediocre version of love, I can find you one in a bar in about 5 minutes. If you want a higher love, you sort of have to wait till the universe brings in an alignment with you. But don't envy him at all. He's not
no,
a happy man. He's not happy, you know. And again, I told that to my client whose husband just died, ex-husband died. I said, you're envying a man who got entrapped, who the universe brought him a woman to get him away from you. You should have left that man. You weren't going to leave him, but you were to die of cancer. You stayed with him. You would have been the one dead. I mean, it played out to the T, like a week after I told you that he had cancer. And it just played out in every way. This is a man who's fuming with anger. He's angry at everything. It's not good for his health. And if this divorce isn't settled and he drops dead, you get everything. So, it's pretty funny how this man, it just better cooperate a little bit. Don't be afraid of him in court. Don't settle. Love is coming, but try to be a little stronger with this new man. How long have you known him now? How long have you been with the newer man?
6 months.
Okay. It's when the prince starts becoming the beast around the 6-month mark too, by the way. You start seeing colors you may not like of him. But know that it's not healthy, that love is supposed to be something that you close and you get closer, not I'm telling you how close we can get and can't get, and I'm going to see you like once a week or once every 2 weeks on my schedule because that's what I want. It's not healthy. Can you see that?
Yes.
And women
have to start
telling men. And this started 21st century with the internet. Men think there's 400 women waiting for them. So why should they commit to you? And, you know, women are not having a sisterhood. They'll sleep with men who are with other women. They're not sticking together and saying, this is not what we want. This is not acceptable. They're not calling them on their behavior. So, you know, God would ask you to be, you know, you should have left your husband, and God's bringing you another man that you should leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God is saying, when are you going to leave? When are you going to say, I deserve better? So it may not be easy for you, but it looks like you're going to, money will be okay after the, I don't think he's going to want to give you support, but it's going to look like, I mean, is your lawyer saying the money you've gotten for the house is yours in lieu of support?
No, I've been married for, it's going to be 49 years this year.
Okay, so, I mean, if he's not giving you any support, then how can he be asking you for the money from the house?
Because he's very greedy.
Yeah, of course.
And that's what I've been living on. That's what I've been living on that money and supporting myself up to this point. I'm also living with my son that I have to pay rent to. So,
just go in court knowing this time you want it settled. You know, go in strong, have the facts. You look like you'll turn out okay in court, by the way. This man just wants to give you a run for your money. Really not a nice man. Not a nice man.
Yeah. I have a condo. I'm in Florida right now, and which was my inheritance, and I put him on the title.
Okay, you can inherit this from your father, by the way?
Yes.
No wonder he's rolling in his grave because, you know, your father taught you to sort of cooperate with a man and, you know, put his name on it, but it is not marital property. Unfortunately, you put your name on it, his name on it, and now it is part of his property.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if the laws are the same in New York as in Florida, but over your father's dead body, does that man get the half of that condo? So he better start barking up a different tree, according to your father, because your father is not having what he left you go to that man.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
trust
what
that
I'm
you're
fighting for, too.
And trust me, your father is not a happy camper over that. Not a happy camper. So I'm just laughing because these people think they're going to keep making trouble when the dead are on your side. Oh, you know, you might be surprised how they can help you, but fight to make sure he doesn't get half of that.
I am fighting. I'm trying my best to fight. I'm claiming this as my homestead because that's all I have. I don't have any other place.
Right. And also, any women listening, you know, inheritance is not marital property, and any men listening, do not put your mate's name on inheritance. The dead roll in the grave when you lose what was their money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know.
Yes, I learned that lesson.
Right, and everyone should learn that lesson. Because once you commingle the money or put his name on it, it is his property. He has a legal right to take half of it. Again, legal is one thing. If he's dead, what's he going to get? I mean, you know, your dad is like voting this man gets sick, voting they give him a wake-up call that's, you know, horrendous in terms of illness. Really, if people are not doing what they're supposed to do, that's yours, you'd be surprised. Call in again and let us know what happened, by the way, because I'm curious what happens, but do your best to make some kind of a deal that lets you at least keep most of what's yours. Good luck to you. Have a good 5-year period opening up. Anyway, thanks for calling in. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Cindy. Bye.
You're so welcome. Bye. Boy, sometimes I can't stand listening to this stuff. Okay. We have a listener 516 number. 946 is the first three digits. I'm going to hit on it. I hope you want to talk to me. Hi, it's Cindy. You're live on the air.
Hi, Cindy. It's Caitlin.
Hi, Caitlin. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Can you hear me getting aggravated that these men are so bad?
I do. I can feel it.
Oh, my goodness. We got to wise up women a bit. So how is Caitlin? And I'm sure you've been waiting on the line for a while. You must have something on your mind.
I was also on the line yesterday, too, and I clicked in. But I was like, it's not my time yet. I want to give other people. But I knew I was going to get through. I don't know. Something was calling me to you today.
Oh, it's so funny. And yesterday, you listened to the Soul Matrix show last night?
Yes.
It's
yes,
so funny.
It's
we
so
had
nice.
So we had so many listeners, so it was hard to get people through. So you were meant to listen to that show more than call in.
Uh-huh.
And
I
bet you've been thinking a lot. And so why don't you tell me what's been on your mind?
Everything's been so good because, you know what, ever since, like, you know, I did let go of my old soulmate love, and it was so hard, but after seeing you and after really realizing a lot of trusting my gut intuition throughout time, I came to realize that, like, I'll always love him, but it's not meant to be.
Thank you, because you learned an important lesson. We sometimes don't fall out of love, we fall out of liking a person. And we also begin to realize it's not going to be in this particular lifetime because the person isn't going to change.
Mm-hmm.
We don't
yeah.
have to stop loving this person because that makes yeah. us crazy. To try to block love makes you so you cannot hear any psychic ability. So
mm-hmm.
you have to not block if he sort of sends you a message telepathically because you were soulmates
yeah.
once, and sometimes his messages will come through. But it's
mm-hmm.
realizing that in this lifetime, sometimes we're not going to be with someone, no matter how much we might want to be with that
I
person.
I know, yeah.
And that's why, if you notice, every other love song is about the love that got away.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
people tend to experience this, but this soulmate and the loss of this soulmate has changed you profoundly.
Yeah.
It's changed what you want to do for a career. It's changed... It's changed you. You want to share that with our listeners, how much it's changed you?
Sure. Ever since I had to let go of that soulmate love, it was very, very difficult for me. And I was going through, like, trying to figure out who I was as a person, and I was in and out of other relationships, not being able to find that love and kind of blaming the other people for not being my soulmate. And not in a bad way. I was never mean about it, but they could just tell, and they loved me. Those other people, maybe I was kind of their end of love, but I could not love them because my heart was not to them. And, you know, being so young, I'm only turning 25 next month, to experience all these lessons in such a short time was just very, very emotional for me. And I didn't understand that at first, that I was really following my intuition. And as I followed more and more and listened more, I was being guided to all the things that were right. And now I'm on a more spiritual path due to the fact that I let go of everything that was blocking me. I lost all of friends that weren't aiding me, and I have to let go of some people I loved along the way, which is very hard for me because I never let go. So just letting go of love and letting go of friendships and letting go of all of that, but still, like, giving them the love through my heart and even in my dreams. Like, I'll still, you know, come off to them as I love them, and I'll still be there for them. But you really have to let go of anybody that's blocking you in life to get that love that you need.
And that's exactly it. And it's letting go. Older souls tend to like the devil they know, so they stay too long in
mm-hmm.
relationships that aren't good, in jobs they don't like. They're not
yeah.
great risk takers. And I try to teach calculated risk taking, weigh out the consequences, figure out if you stay, the pluses and negatives, if you go, the pluses and negatives, and which adds up more will determine
yeah.
whether you should stay or go. And you've been doing that. And
mm-hmm.
being on a spiritual path in this particular age of Aquarius that we're trying to march into in the 21st century is probably harder than any other lifetimes, because in the past, God cut women more slack. They did run
yeah.
prostitute archetypes. They were supported by men. Families would not support them in careers or leaving men that were abusive. So God could cut a little slack, although there was always a way out. We just maybe didn't
yeah.
see it in those lifetimes. But God is now saying to women, you can't settle. You have to
mm-hmm.
move forward. You have to have a career, one that you
yeah.
love. And, you know, what's in your card is a soulmate. This is the first card that I drew.
Mm-hmm.
And this is
mm-hmm.
the one that's the healing soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
And also showing that you're getting your thoughts together. Lots of love in the future, good money in the future. that new source of income you're striving for, by time you're a little bit older, really having that love you want, and a very peaceful year by time you reach 2016. So money looks good. Nothing is bad in your cards. You did get the death card, which indicates that you're still a little bit mourning for everything you've left behind. And we can't truncate that or just, you know, forget it. It's there. So don't hold back if sometimes you're just feeling this is really a hard path. This is really sad. This I need to feel what I'm feeling.
Well, it's hard. And, you know, what's hard is now is like, you know, I'm on more of the spiritual path, and I know that, like, this is my purpose and this is my love, and I know that I'm reaching, like, my highest love in career, my highest love in a soulmate. Like, I know that all that's approaching, but it's hard because my family doesn't really have those same values, and they don't understand where I'm coming from with all of that. So that's kind of what I'm having a difficulty with, is, like, trying to slowly, like, explain to them, like, I'm not coming out of nowhere in the decisions I'm making, but you're not understanding, you're not seeing it because you don't know me enough, you know?
Now, isn't it funny? Because Jesus, and, you know, a prophet is never recognized in his own country.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows who you are in families. And the hero's journey, if you were to read what a hero's journey is in all mythology, it's about the hero's journey. Every movie's about the hero's journey. Is the hero is always born into a family they don't fit into.
Yeah.
And they have to destroy a world before they can create a new one. And you're in the process of destruction of one life and creating another. And it really can be very painful. And they may never be able to see who you are or what you are. My parents died about 6 years ago. Neither one of them knew who I was.
Yeah,
and it would be funny
so hard.
It would be funny because people pay money to talk to me. They pay money, okay? My parents wouldn't talk to me for free. So, isn't that the ironies of life? So, if you're going to wait to get their approval, if you're going to wait till you're dead because they're never going to give it. I mean, they may give it after they die. They may come through to say, "Oh my God, we should have seen. You know, we were wrong." It's very hard when you don't have people supporting you, when they're all telling you get a day job, give up your dreams, and again. Parents have no right to tell children what avocation they should do or vocation, who to love, how to practice religion, or how to love God. And parents have historically raped those boundaries and told their children all those things. And it's very hard for parents to let go. It's not their decision to tell you. But their advice isn't good either, because in the 21st century, they're telling you go get this particular day job or that one.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what jobs are going to exist in the future. They're going to come and go. So if you're going to work for somebody, those corporations are going to come and go. You're going to be laid off 18 times. So you're trying to build your own business from your own skills with your own knowledge that no one can take
by myself.
The most secure jobs are jobs that are your skills. And every business that I've had, and I've reinvented myself 3 times, has been built on my skills.
Yeah.
That's it. My skills make money. I don't need a storefront. I need nothing. I need my skills. So I'm a living testimony that I've never had to look for a job in 40 years. I've never been out of work. I've never had to really worry about money once I left my ex, by the way, because he was a spendaholic. Just know that doing what I needed to do and making my living my way, even though people were fighting me when I was younger, saying, "But you're not building pension." And I would always say, what makes you think that pension's going to be there? What makes you think? So, you know, you're going to be fighting this, and it's harder when you fight it, but it's part of our hero's journey to fight it. And it's part of their role to make us have to fight. Now, we're going from the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. And the age of Pisces is your parents, organized religion, you know, work for someone, you know, the old values that they have, you know, we tell you what to do. And the age of Aquarius, which is don't take a fear-based job that your parents are telling you, get a love-based job. So you're the age of Aquarius and they're the age of Pisces. And the people in any astrological age always has people pulling us back into the old one. And you're one of the people who just has to pull forward into the new age of Aquarius. And you know, by being polite to your parents, by, you know, saying, yes, I'll treat, look, maybe saying,
yeah,
hey, why don't you give me 5 years to see if my plan works? If it doesn't, then I'll go by your plan.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to know, is my soulmate going to be on the same path as me with my decision and my career?
Of course. He's going to be on your path. And, you know, again, you may meet him on your path. So,
I know. I kind of feel like he's there, but I don't know.
Yes, he's circling right around you. He's not far. And, you know, I'm not worried about you. I'm never worried about you. I'm just seeing you remind me of my younger self. You're fortunate you're not in a bad marriage or a marriage that, you know, you discovered you were on this path after you married someone who's not on this path, and then they start dragging you down. What happens is you start getting dragged down and dragged down, and finally you have to become who you are in spite of it, and it's so hard. You know, that was my path, battling. The more spiritual I came, the more enlightened I came, the more my ex-husband tried to drag me back into his world, and it was just this vicious, you know, inner turmoil. And, you know, you're just free to, you know, be on a path where you can find a soulmate who won't tear you down.
Yeah, and that's what I feel. That's what I feel like I'm on. And it was the thing is, like, after, you know, I was kind of back and forth with my soulmate, and it was not like we were together after we were actually broken up, but we were just back and forth. It was like, you're tearing my heart out of my chest every time you come back. Like, you know that I love you. I know that you love me, but, like, stop doing this. Like, stop coming back. And I know it's easier said than done, but now we're at a good point now. Like, we don't talk. It's good where it is, and I know not to go back to him. I know that, you know, he's doing his thing, and I'm not meant to be in his family, and you just have to come to those realizations through your life and come to say, like, okay, enough is enough. This is not what I deserve. This is not what I want. Although I love him, it's time to walk away, you know?
Well, you sound just like me. You've been listening to me through your readings.
Yes.
I'm so proud of you. And we needed a woman who... You know, we've had in the callers people having trouble walking away from relationships that aren't good.
Yeah.
You gave them the courage by saying, I'm standing on my own 2 feet without a man, and I'm seeing what the universe has to offer.
Yeah,
and
that's exactly it.
And we're so proud of you. Anyway, I want to try to catch Nicole, because I know Nicole did come in
here
now, and I want to hear about her grandma. And so, Caitlin, call in again. You know I love you. You're one of my favorites.
Okay, I love you too. Thank you.
Bye.
Hi.
Okay, Nicole, I see. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Now, Nicole, I have to tell you, evil
yes.
has left the planet twice. You know, there was a man I was talking about on the show earlier who, you know, was so bad to his ex-wife, and I had told her about it a year ago, this man is not long for the earth because of his behaviors. He's just crossed the line. He's going to die of cancer, and he died. And it's funny because she didn't call to let me know, and I'm riding my bike today, and her mom comes through to say, Cindy, I know I'm not supposed to bother you, but he's dead. And I'm like, no, he can't be dead, because she would have called me. He's dead. So isn't it funny I hear today that he's dead, and you tell me yesterday that your grandmother has died. And maybe you could fill in our listeners a bit with that so they know that I'm not being the evil witch here. You can maybe tell them why.
No. Well, you know, for people that obviously, you know the show and everything else, they've always heard me speak of her. But my grandmother, you know, it was a very, very difficult relationship. She wasn't a very nice person for a lot of her life. She was extremely abusive for a lot of her life. And, you know, she'd always loved me. And then, you know, when I started thinking for myself, she kind of, you know, made that little, you know, 180 turn a little bit. And, you know, the relationship with my mother was always very, very volatile. And, you know, even up until the very end, my mother was still looking for some sort of love or understanding from her. And, you know, that, you know, unfortunately never came for her. But, my grandmother was, it was a special something. And it was a very, very long road. She had dementia and Alzheimer's. And, you know, she gave up, you know, a while back, and we fought for her and that, you know, to try to improve her life. And unfortunately, she just didn't want to accept any help. And she didn't want to accept the fact that, you know, it's actually going to happen whether she liked it or not. And, you know, she unfortunately succumbed to it over the last, 4 years ago, she was actually like walking, talking, and she was okay. And by the time she passed yesterday morning, she was literally, she entered my mother's house about 5 years ago at 145 pounds, and she left my mother's house yesterday at 80. And she completely deteriorated. And it just goes to show you that you sometimes reap what you sow, because she was very, very, you know, she was physically abusive. She was verbally abusive. She was constantly, you know, ridiculing my mom, you know, telling her just the nastiest of things, you know. And you know, towards the end there, she couldn't see, she couldn't hear, she couldn't get out of the fetal position because her muscles just gave way. And even now, she's in the casket right now, and they could not straighten her legs from a fetal position without breaking the bone. So they just kind of did whatever they could and laid her to rest in, you know, in a half open casket there. So So it was definitely a hard time. And you know, you and I were conversing over text message, you know, earlier today and everything. And it's just kind of like, you know what, I'm sad, because I really was hoping that there was going to be some sort of resolution. You know,
I remember I told you it was never going to happen, because she's a true unfixable. Now know who a true unfixable is. A narcissist who was judgmental and a person who did not learn one thing from the day they were born to the day they died. And I need to tell you, when you told me hospice said she could be here as long as 21 days, you have to understand your mother's spirit guide went like this. There's nothing that she's going to do to make amends to her daughter at this point. So we're yanking her up now because your mother didn't need 21 more days of misery here.
It was, I mean, and even at that, it was the hardest part was seeing my mom go through it, because, you know, my mom just wanted something, you know, anything. I mean, even last night, it was the saddest thing, because we're sitting there and, you know, of course we're doing like this big mural, not mural, but like the poster boards that usually have at funerals and stuff like that of like old churches. And, you know, we have very little of her because of just the animosity that was there a lot when I was younger, you know, before the animosity, you know, got way out of hand. And then, you know, there's gaps though. And you can see what the gaps are. And, you know, even at that, you know, and I've always said that, you know, for my grandmother, my uncle was always the more revered. And, you know, that was my mother's brother. He was always more revered. And he was, you know, the golden child. And he was Jesus, you know, second coming. And here we are going through my grandmother's old pictures. You know, we're packing her life up into white hefty bags. And, you know, and we're looking through these pictures. And there was like literally maybe three baby pictures of my mother and tons of my uncle. And, like, if you couldn't get a bigger slap in the face at that moment, my mother just got slapped in the face by that. You know, so even after she was gone, my mother
still
got
slapped. Well,
that was
God's way of reminding her, do not make a saint out of her now that she's dead.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, you know what? The both of us were pretty much kind of like, you know what? We're not going to get the resolution. There's nothing to be angry about anymore. She's gone.
She's gone.
She's left, and I'm not going to let that anger consume me, and my mother's not going to let it consume her. And, you know, we just have to let her go and hope that, you know, if God or the universe or whatever you want to call it ever allows her to come to this earth again, that she does better next time. You know,
and remember
because,
we
and that's
said
the only
that
thing
you,
that we can hope for her.
That you want to be karmically free of her. You don't want to meet her in the afterlife.
I have been saying it all day.
Okay, remember I told you, you do not want to meet, and it's so funny because your grandma came to me on the bike. Now, I have these people coming to me on the bike. This was a Leo
walk. Oh, boy.
And the first thing she said is, I'm okay. And I said, who gives a flying fuck if you're okay or not? Is what I said to her. Who cares? I don't
care.
You
know, like
and then she went
like
this. And then she was like this, well, tell them I'm sorry. So we got to I'm sorry.
And you want to know what's funny about that? What's funny about that is that the way that you said that, as a matter of factly as you said it, she used to say that all the time. You know, when her mind first really started to go, I used to say to like Mima, like not for anything. I was just like, Mommy takes care of you. Mommy makes sure that you're fed. She makes sure that you're bathed. You know, she does your laundry. You know, and here you are, you know, still, you know, still with, oh, my son. Like, doesn't your daughter get any credit here? Like, do you even feel bad for the way that you've treated her all these years? And I was like, you know, I mean, she would be willing to forgive you if you would just say you're sorry. And she'd be like, well, yeah, of course I'm sorry.
But first she was like wanting to know she's okay. Now, I was like, I can't imagine she's okay, but I think the universe just said, tell them you're okay and you're sorry, and then she was grabbed away from me. So that was all oh, that's all that I heard. But it's funny that I should hear from two people who were people that, you know, two evil has left the planet. You know, and I thought interesting
and
in this. It's sad, but these are people that don't learn. They're not going to learn.
No.
They're not going to learn. And the sooner we can learn that there are people that are not fixable, and the sooner your mom did what God would ask as an act of charity for any old person. She took care of her mother, and that's what she did. But she will be thanked, you know, by God, but not necessarily. I mean, she didn't say thank you for taking care of me, which bothered me. I would have expected her to say thank you, and I didn't hear that from her. So
yeah.
I just heard I'm sorry, which, you know, I think she probably got kicked in the butt to say that, because it sounded very perfunctory rather than, I can tell a sincere I'm sorry from one that
tell. But that's been her. That's been just the way that you said it. That's the way that she's always been, you know.
I'm delivering those messages. I don't, you know.
No,
you
know,
wanna,
I mean, it's,
you
it's,
wanna
it's
be
actually
karmically
kind of good. Yeah.
Right.
I
you
mean,
want to
no,
be karmically
I've been saying it all
free
day.
For her. And you want to be karmically
I've been
free
saying
for...
two things all day. Two things I've been saying all day is that you know, I need to be karmically free of her. My mother needs to be karmically free of her more so than myself. And, you know, I've been preaching to my mom all day that, and I understand that it's still new and, you know, my mom is just not used to, because I mean, I tore that room apart today and I cleaned it up because, you know, the first thing my mother told me she did, was go in the room and to check on her, because it's just part of her routine, and she forgot that she was gone. And, you know, even last night or whatever, like at a certain point in the night, you know, we were in the dining room and we were watching TV and you know, we were just, you know, doing other things. And all of a sudden she noticed the time on the clock and she got up and she went in the room and she opened the door. And and she didn't like let on that I knew what she was doing, but she was checking on my grandmother. You know,
and I will tell you this, it shows you that she was on remote control. She was in almost a fugue state during the time she's been taking care of this woman.
Yeah, and I told her she's got to seize her life back. It's her turn now. She's got to, you know, with what little money my grandmother left her, you know, she's got to take it, and she's got to live her life now, you know, because my grandmother's the one that's gone, not her. And she's got to, you know, she's got to live her life, and she's got to go and find the things that she always wanted and experience things for herself without thinking of anybody but herself right now. You know, I want her to be selfish. And because there's nothing wrong with that, you know. And I know that my aunt is going to be going to Italy in the summer. And I told my aunt, I'm like, if my mother wants you to go, can you get her on the trip? And my aunt is like, hell yeah. So, you know, I'm going to get my mother a passport next week, and we're going to see if we could send my mom to Italy and you know, and have her not leave this earth without a stamp in her passport.
Right, and that's wonderful. And, you know, it's funny because this was a day people have been waiting for. You've been waiting for your mom to liberate her. It's like the concentration camp was just liberated. You know, it's like, wow, Hitler's dead, you know?
Yeah, you know, but at the same time, it's like still surreal, you know, it's just like, you know, especially when you're looking through like the memories and stuff like that, like the pictures and everything, it's like, you do start
to
remember
life
some of the good stuff. Yeah, you know, but you remember some of the good stuff, you know. I mean, and it's terrible because, you know, you realize like just what simple words could have done, you know, a simple, you know, heartfelt I'm sorry could have fixed so much, you know. Things could have been a lot different than they were, and unfortunately, because she was unfixable, they just couldn't be, you know. And
she couldn't make it happen, and you know. The only time you're glad you had bad parents, by the way, is when they die, because you're not sad as you would be. You know, when you have good parents that pass, it's really hard. So imagine, it's the one time you're glad you didn't have good parents. There's a little less, you know, pain there. And I mean, and think about it. Good people never cause pain on earth except when they die, because their death leaves such a hole and so much pain. And it drives them crazy from above that their death has caused us pain, because it's something they never wanted to do. And here are these people that have caused pain all life, and they die, and it's like, oh, shoo, a weight's off my shoulder. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Difference.
You know what? When my mother grew up, I mean, because my grandmother, I mean, for the time, you know, that this was, you know, I mean, my grandmother did grow up, you know, my mother rather grew up, you know, you know, in a single parent household. You know, my grandfather left, and you know, my grandmother was responsible for
raising. We're surprised by that. He left.
Yeah, right.
We're surprised.
Well, you know what? My grandfather wasn't much better. you know
right.
what I'm saying? He really wasn't much better. You know, but at least in the later years, my grandfather owned up to his stuff and came to my mom and wanted to make amends, and they were actually able to forge a relationship and have a good relationship. You know, towards the end of his life, at the very least, she got that. You know, that from him, you know, more than she got from her mother, who she took care of, you know, but, we were talking, you know, when my grandmother was you know, when my mother was being raised, she was being raised by her best friend, my Aunt Anna, and her, you know, her best friend's husband, you know, that's who helped raise my mother. And my mother has always said that it was my Aunt Anna and my Uncle Mel that showed my mother what love really was. And, you know, as much as she's mourning, you know, her mother, just for the fact that she was a mother to her, you know, well, whatever mother she was given, you know, she wouldn't be here had it not been for her. So as much as she's mourning that, you know, it's nothing, it's going to be nothing compared to when, you know, when my aunt finally does leave this earth. So, you know,
and of course,
still has
for Mother's Day,
here.
The gift of mother for Mother's Day for your mother,
from her father.
Is that your grandmother's gone.
So, oh, shit, really?
He's a very funny man, by the way.
He is very funny, and he was very good-looking, too. I have to say, I've been looking at pictures of him all afternoon. No wonder he cheated so much, because he was good. He was good
at the game. Okay, well, you know, it's funny. He likes me, too. He's flirting with me. I find that very funny when the dad flirt with me.
Yeah, that's very, very funny.
I was getting kicked out of that.
You're just his type, too, Cindy.
I know. He said he liked the
tall
blonde.
You're his type. Yep.
You know, he said that to me. He you know, so I'm laughing because I loved it when they flirt from the grave.
Both him and my grandmother was all blondes.
Wow. Well, that's what
you're my type. Both of his wives were tall. You were definitely his type.
Well,
you
know,
that's his Mother's Day gift to my mother.
Right, his mother, he says, just tell him, that's my gift. That's my Mother's Day gift to you.
Oh, God.
So you got to laugh. And, well, anyway, we're at the end of our show. Remember, Nicole, we have no show next week. May 14th,
no show
have
next
a fundraiser
week,
to do. So you've got, and I'm glad you called in because
yes, I told you I was going to try to pop by. So
I know everybody wanted to hear about, you know, about this. And, you know, it's been coming, and you know, I'm sorry for you know that you have to go through this. There's a lot just going through the whole burial and getting rid of stuff. Everything is just hard, and it's not over till it's really over. And well, good luck to everybody. Thanks for calling in. I love you, Nicole.
Love
some
you
rest.
Too, Cindy. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.